NPR.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. About 7 years ago, Chris Montana opened his first business, a distillery. He called it Du Nord, which is French for from the north. He opened it in his hometown of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Their distillery is 4 blocks away from my old high school. It's the heart of the city because it's where there is no, you know, predominant racial minority in the area. It's kind of everyone's there. That vibrancy is hard to find.
Getting the money together was a huge challenge, but Chris managed, ran the whole place on a shoestring for years, making vodka, whiskey, gin, different liqueurs. It was only much later that Chris realized he may have inadvertently started the first Black-owned distillery in the country.
Oh, okay.
I found that out when I went to a spirits conference and realized I was the only one there. About 1,000 people. And I spent the next couple of years looking for what I assumed had to be this group of Black-owned distilleries, and they just didn't exist.
But Chris Montana existed, and Du Nord became this popular neighborhood spot with a tasting room where people could come and order cocktails and relax. In fact, most of Chris's money came from that tasting room, and he was able to build up his staff to about 12 people. When coronavirus hit, Chris worried that he would have to close. Money just wasn't coming in. He had to close his very profitable tasting room. Still, Chris managed to pull through. He felt like he might be able to make it. And then, in May, George Floyd was killed by police officer Derek Chauvin. And Chauvin's precinct was just a few blocks away from Chris's distillery. Chris says when he saw the video, he just felt this overwhelming emotion.
Fatigue. It's like, here we go again. You know, we're doing this again. I would have preferred, you know, to say that I got pissed off and punched a wall or something, but no, you just get sad. You know, it brings tears to your eyes.
Chris joined the Black Lives Matter protests. And when he realized the marches were going right past his distillery, he and his employees set up a table, giving out water bottles and hand sanitizer to the protesters.
We wanted to support the protests in any way that we could.
But Chris soon realized that people participating in the Black Lives Matter marches were not the only people coming to his neighborhood.
And there were the protesters, and then there were the partiers, and that would eventually turn into the rioters. And they were across the street in the Target parking lot and, you know, setting random cars on fire, you know, drinking and doing whatever. And so we knew that night that it was going to go south.
After the break, we see what happened to Chris's distillery.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from E-Trade. Trading isn't for everyone, but E-Trade is. Whether it's saving for a rainy day or your retirement, E-Trade has you covered. They can help you check financial goals off your list. And with a team of professionals giving you support when you need it, you can be confident that your money is working hard for you. Get more than just trading with E-Trade. To get started, visit etrade.com/podcast for more information. E-Trade Securities, LLC. Member FINRA SIPC.
When Chris Montana realized that rioting would probably be happening around his distillery, he put signs up saying Black-owned business, and then he locked everything up, went home to his family, and hoped for the best. The next day, he came to see what had happened. And as he walked through the neighborhood towards his distillery, he started to get this terrible feeling. And when he got to Du Nord, he saw that one of the doors had been forced open. And when he walked inside, he just felt his heart sink.
They set multiple fires and they stole our inventory. I found cases of our booze all up and down the street. Our sprinkler system kicked on and put out the fires for the most part. And it was the sprinkler system coming on and dousing everything and putting about a foot of water in the entire warehouse. That's what did most of the damage.
Chris says he waded through his business, putting out the fires that were still going, taking everything in.
I don't care who you are. If you have a small business and you put the kind of work into it that I have and that other owners do, and somebody comes and sets it on fire, I mean, that hurts. And it it feels like someone punched you in the face.
And it wasn't just his business. As Chris walked around the neighborhood, he could hardly recognize it.
Everything's still on fire. I mean, buildings all around are burning. You can't go anywhere in that area without smelling smoke or, you know, this weird snow of ash that comes down because, you know, all these buildings are burning.
And Chris says he started to realize that actually he got off easy.
I saw a message from a gentleman who owns a business. It's a few blocks away from us. And his business has been burned to the ground. This is a guy who's invested everything into community. And you can't talk to him about anything without him, you know, eventually coming around to how is this helping our community. And his business was burned to the ground. Everything 100% gone. And he was saying, look, it's just stuff. And that probably was the most important thing that happened that day for me, because he was right. It was just stuff.
But Chris had worked really hard for that stuff. And the damage to his business was enormous, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Rioting and property destruction has happened in cities across the U.S. New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Miami, San Francisco, Portland. And business owners like Chris Montana are left trying to pick up the pieces, regroup, and begin again, all in the middle of the worst economic crisis since the Great Depression. And they are up against some formidable odds. Bradley Hardy is an economist at American University. He has studied the economic impact of property damage and rioting on neighborhoods and some of the lasting damage it can do. Bradley looked at neighborhoods that had seen rioting and property damage back in 1968 in parts of Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, Detroit, and Newark.
We analyzed the trajectory of these neighborhoods from 1970, and then we looked, you know, every 10 years, 1970, 1980, 1990, 2000, 2010.
Bradley looked at all kinds of economic indicators in these neighborhoods. He says in a lot of cases, these were neighborhoods that were already struggling economically. And the riots and property destruction magnified those issues. Even 20, 30 years later, Bradley says, those neighborhoods never fully recovered.
You know, neighborhoods where the riots occurred looked worse. They, you know, they had lower educational attainment, lower incomes, higher use of welfare programs, higher poverty rates, and that even though there were improvements, those neighborhoods essentially continued to lag behind other counterpart neighborhoods.
Distillery owner Chris Montana says he and other local businesses in his neighborhood in Minneapolis are doing everything they can to beat those odds. They started a GoFundMe campaign, which raised more than $300,000. They've done a lot of community activities and events to help bring people together. But between the pandemic and the shutdowns and the current economy and all the damage, Chris has a lot working against him. At the same time, Chris says he's been incredibly inspired and moved by the Black Lives Matter movement and some of the real change that's been happening.
There's no part of me that regrets, honestly, anything that happened. I wish that it hadn't turned violent, but that's the price that needed to get paid. And it probably is the only reason why anything changed or anything has the potential to change.
Chris says that change has come at a price. And for him, it's a very personal price, possibly his business. A price that a lot of people in Chris's situation might say is too high.
That's nuts. It's absurd. And I understand that, you know, if you don't grow up with this, you might not understand it. But you have to think about a world where you're told at a young age, hey, by the way, because of the color of your skin, that story of American greatness doesn't actually reach all the way to you. If all that we had to pay, if all we had to do would burn a few businesses, I mean, that's absolutely worth it. That's just stuff.
This episode of The Indicator was produced by Camille Peterson, fact-checked by Brittany Cronin. The Indicator is edited by Patty Hirsch and is a production of NPR.